How many have come into the house today saying, I need a breakthrough in some area of my life? Let me see your hands. You need a breakthrough. I believe you're in the right place this morning. God is going to do a breakthrough. Amen? And I believe this is the year of God's breakthrough for His people. A few weeks ago at a Sunday night service, Holy Spirit Miracle Rally, there was a very clear prophetic word from the Lord that in the year of 2018, this year would be a year of breakthrough for His people. And so I'm excited to know that we're living in a time of God's breakthrough. And we're going to see what God's Word has to say about this subject of breakthrough. Take your Bibles and turn with me to 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel chapter 5, verses 7 through 17 through 20. It says, when the Philistines heard that David had been anointed king over Israel. I'm going to go back for a moment, and I want you to say that with me. When the Philistines heard that David had been, what? Anointed king over Israel. So David had been what? Anointed king over Israel. They went up in full force to search for him. Some people aren't happy about this. Who are they? They're the Philistines. But David heard about it and went down to the stronghold. This would be the citadel, the most important place for a king to go during times of siege and danger. There are some Bible scholars believe that this was actually a cave, the cave of Adullam that the Bible talks about. So possibly David now, he's down in this cave. He knows the Philistines have heard that he has been anointed king over Israel, and he is a marked man now. Now the Philistines had come and spread out on the Valley of Rephaim. Say, the Valley of Rephaim with me, the Valley of Rephaim. So David inquired of the Lord, shall I go and attack the Philistines? Will you deliver them into my hands? The Lord answered him, go, for I surely will deliver the Philistines into your hands. So David went to Baal-perazim. Say, Baal-perazim. Baal-perazim, and there he defeated them. He said, as the waters break out, the Lord hath broken out against my enemies before me. So that place was called Baal-perazim. Say it one more time, Baal-perazim. Now let's look at it from another translation, verse 20. Verse 20 from the Voice translation reads this way. So David battled the Philistines at Baal-perazim and defeated them. David declared, the Eternal, that is God, has broken through my enemies in front of me like water bursting through a dam. That is why the place was named Baal-perazim, meaning the Lord who bursts through. Now, friends, I don't know about you, but I love a great breakthrough story. Accounts when the victory has been won and that victory affects many. You know, if you think about some of the breakthroughs, you'll find there's been breakthroughs in medicine. Thank God for the cures of cancer and heart disease, diabetes, and the list will go on and on. My cardiologist one day when we were talking, he said, this is the greatest time in the history of medicine to have heart disease. And he went on to say, because new breakthroughs in heart disease are literally happening every single day. Breakthroughs. What about breakthroughs in science? You know, Thomas Edison, he performed more than 35,000, you heard me right, 35,000 experiments in the creation of the incandescent light bulb before he finally broke through to victory with the tungsten filament. Now, I don't know about you again, but I'm mighty glad that he stuck with it until he created a light bulb for us. This world would be kind of a dark place without light. And I'm so glad for Dr. Jonas Salk, who stuck with it until a cure for crippling polio was discovered. Now, I love breakthroughs that literally change the quality of life for men and women here on this planet. But of all the exciting breakthroughs we could talk about this morning in science and industry and in so many other areas, none excites me more than a spiritual breakthrough. The miracle of seeing someone breakthrough. from spiritual death to spiritual life, from spiritual blindness to sight, bondages broken, habits conquered, breaking out of depression, hopelessness, and despair, breaking through, making headway, and on the grow with God. Conversely, I think we can all say what a sad, pathetic sight it is to see a Christian live year after year, never breaking through into new territory. Years and even decades go by, and it's the same old, same old. No breakthrough, no change. Now, I want you to consider with me, first of all, this morning, in the life of David, how the anointing singled David out from the crowd. Friend, the day that you gave your life to Jesus Christ, I believe you became, from that moment on, a target of the enemy. Remember, the Bible said, when the Philistines had heard that David had been anointed, it was at that moment that all the Philistines said, David is now the target. David is the one we need to wipe out. Listen to how the Bible declares this. It says, starting in verse 1 of 2 Samuel 5, all the tribes of Israel came to David at Hebron and said, you are our own flesh and blood. In the past, while Saul was king over us, you were the one who led Israel on their military campaigns. And the Lord said to you, you will shepherd my people Israel, and you will become their leader. When all the elders of Israel had come to King David at Hebron, the king made a compact with them at Hebron before the Lord, and they did what? Anointed David king over Israel. It is from that moment on at Hebron, this moment in which David is set apart solely for the purpose of doing God's will and to be the king over Israel. It's from that moment on, he is now singled out as the target. The anointing made David the target of his enemy. Now, friends, I believe the devil hates the anointing. The Bible says the anointing breaks the yoke of bondage. And the devil's business is to go about and bringing bondage on men and women. Bondage of the mind, bondage of the spirit, bondage in some dimension of their life. And the devil hates the anointing because the anointing breaks the yoke of bondage. And Satan targets whatever is set apart for God. Now listen to this once again in verse 17. When the Philistines heard that David had been, say with me again, anointed king over Israel. When who found out? The Philistines. The Philistines are the archenemies of Israel. So when the Philistines heard that David had been anointed king over Israel, they went up in full force to search for him. But David heard about it and went down into the stronghold. Friend, the day and hour you gave your life to Jesus Christ, I believe that you too joined along with David and with all others that have been anointed by the Spirit of God, you too became a target in that moment. You see, prior to salvation, Satan held us within his prison. We were his prisoners, but thank God, through the power and the blood of Jesus Christ, we have broken out. Amen? We are no longer prisoners of sin. No longer prisoners of hell. And the anointing rests upon you. And you are now, as a born-again believer, a follower of Jesus Christ, you are now, this morning, a mortal threat to the kingdom of darkness. And like David, the enemy wants to destroy your divine potential. You see, Satan wants to destroy you before you break through. Because he knows when you break through, you begin to dismantle his kingdom of darkness. And so the enemy knows when the anointing is on your life, you are empowered by God to absolutely demolish, tear down strongholds, and to set the captive free. And so the devil don't like any part of that. You know, the Bible is filled with accounts where Satan tried to kill Jesus even before the cross of Calvary. Matter of fact, if you read through the New Testament, you'll discover on six, yes, you heard me right, on 6 separate occasions, Satan tried killing Jesus prior to the cross. Herod wanted him dead as a baby. You all remember that? In the New Testament, we read then of how the Pharisees, they attempt to stone him to death. We read about how Jesus in his hometown of Nazareth, the people rise up and they want to throw him headlong off over a cliff. Why is all this going on? I'll tell you why. It's because Satan knew the potential that Jesus had as the anointed Messiah, and that made him a target. Now, some of you have been wondering, why is there such a battle going on in my life? And you've been wondering, why is there such a battle for the soul of my son or my daughter? It becomes real evident early on in life. A child, you can see the enemy knowing the potential that child has, how hard he tries to sway him away from serving God, to sway him away from knowing the anointing of God upon his life. And so a child from early on, you can see it in your homes. As grandparent, you can see it in a grandchild. That child has all the potential to go in and set the captive free and to open the eyes of the blind and to do the works of Jesus Christ. And the enemy is going to fight it from the moment they come forth from the womb, because he knows the potential. You see, the anointing singles you out, and it makes you a target. But I'm here to tell you this morning, it's worth every bit of it. Amen? I'd rather be under fire from the enemy than floating downstream with the devil. Amen? And I'm glad you're part of that team. So, the enemy said, we've got to find David, and we've got to destroy him, because if we can destroy him, destroying that anointing, we can assure that he will not be a threat to the Philistines and to our strongholds. To that end, we go now to the Valley of Rephaim. Look at verse 18 of 2 Samuel chapter 5. It says, now the Philistines had come and spread out in the valley, say with me, Valley of Rephaim. It was here in this valley called Rephaim that the Philistines took their stand against this newly appointed and anointed king of Israel by the name of David. This valley was located just south of Jerusalem, just a little ways. Now, the term Rephaim is very insightful, and I want you to understand. I've had you say it a couple of times so that you can remember what it means. You know, valleys all throughout the world, they are called by certain names. And the reason why they have that particular name, Death Valley, and you'll find valleys, you know, in Wisconsin, valleys where I grew up out in the Dakotas, all of these valleys seem to have names. And these names are significant. So it is with this Valley of Rephaim. Literally, it means huge men or giants. Now, the Bible tells us that this valley was once filled with monster-like, huge human giants, creating an atmosphere of fear and of turmoil. No one wanted to go to that valley. That valley meant you're going to be encountering the likes of what the Bible calls, you know, men back in Deuteronomy chapter 3 and verse 11. It talks about these giants, one of which the Bible talks about is Og. And his bed was 14 feet long. Think about that. Now, so most believe he was at least somewhere in the vicinity of 13 feet tall. Now, that means in most of our homes, not all of them, but most of our homes probably have 8-foot ceilings, which has kind of been the standard over time. Today, there are more 9-foot ceilings, but nonetheless, an 8-foot ceiling, which means this guy had the potential of being 5 to 6 feet taller than the ceiling in your home. You talk about having a sore back, having to bend over to get in and out. This guy was huge, and he lived in this valley along with all of the descendants that came from the same rank of Goliath and Goliath's family. And so this valley is an interesting place. It is a place where giants hang out. It is a place where no one wants to go. Satan will often attempt to take his stand against you, friends, in a place of intimidation, in a place of fear. And when he does, friends, let me tell you, whatever you do, do not exaggerate the strength of your enemy in that hour. For the enemy will say, we're the giant, you're the peon. You're the little one, we're the big one. You're the weak, I'm the strong. And the enemy will come against you there in that valley. And in that valley, he will try to intimidate you, and he will try to keep you in the citadel. He'll try to keep you in the cave, fearful of ever coming out. Giants of all kinds hang out in this particular valley. Giants of addiction, giants of habits, giants of family crises, family finances, problem with your kids, health, mind, joy, ministry. All of these giants hang out in this valley. Friends, the anointing always leads to a battle, but don't quit. The best is yet to come, amen? And don't run except running into the battle, because you need a breakthrough. And your breakthrough is going to make the difference not only in your life. Dad, I believe when you break through, your children break through, your grandchildren break through, for the Bible tells us that there is a connection from one generation to another. So your breakthrough, as good as it is for you, is also a very key point of breakthrough for the generations that follow after you. So when the enemy is coming and the enemy is whispering in your ear and saying, we're going to take you out. We're going to confuse your mind. We're going to rob your children. We're going to steal your kids. When he comes, he says, I've got the power to do it. You remind him that you're anointed by the power of God. Let me talk about the breakthrough for a moment. Turn to verse 19 and 20, 2 Samuel 5, 19 and 20. So David inquired of the Lord. Here he is, he's in the valley of intimidation, the valley of the giants. And at this moment, most scholars believe that he is probably cowering in this cave of Adullam, a place of hopelessness, a place of despair. And David is hiding from the Philistines that know that now he is the mark, he's the one to get. So David, in this place, in this time, in this valley, so David inquired of the Lord. Friend, I tell you, it's always good to ask the Lord. Someone came to me even after the service this morning, they had a long list of questions. I said, you know, some of this, you're just gonna have to go and ask the Lord. And the Lord's got an answer. So David, here he is surrounded in the valley of the giants. And his head and his life and his future is on the line, and not only his, but all of Israel that's gonna follow. So David inquired of the Lord. Here's what he asked the Lord. Shall I go and attack the Philistines? Shall I go and attack him? Number two, will you hand them over to me? And the Lord answered him, aren't you glad that when you ask, the Lord answers? Now, friend, you are, this morning, some of you are probably waiting for an answer. The answer is actually on the way in this very moment. And I want you to hold on. And I want you to hold fast. And I want you to retain that anointing of the Lord and your faith in that moment. And the Lord answered him. Here's what the Lord said. Go. I could almost stop right there. And thank God the scripture doesn't. Go, for I will surely hand the Philistines over to you. So David, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go. Get out of the cave. Get out there. Don't be afraid. I will go with you, for I will surely hand the Philistines over to you. So David went to Baal-perazim, and there he defeated them. He said, As waters break out, the Lord has broken out against my enemies before me. So that place was called Bel Perazim. You see, far too many Christians spend their entire lives intimidated in the valley of the giants, going nowhere, doing nothing, fearful, year after year in spiritual checkmate, year after year under siege, controlled by the same vices, habits, and fits of rage. I'm here to tell you this morning, God is saying, go, get out of the cave, get out. Remember, there's a battle that is going on, and that Satan wants to stop you from reaching your divine potential. But in reality, you need to understand this morning. The enemy is afraid of you. He knows that the anointing on your life will absolutely destroy his power and his kingdom. In the valley of intimidation is where far too many Christians live. They allow the enemy to back them into a corner, and they absolutely just shrink away. And David, in that moment, here he is, King of Israel, the anointed one, the hand of the Lord is upon him. Shall I go out there and take on the Philistines? And the Lord says, yes, by all means, go. And I'll go with you, and I'm going to hand them over to you. There's many things that God could do apart from man, but there's few things that God chooses to do apart from using man. He allows you and he allows me to be a part of what he is going to do in the world. And so to David, he didn't say, David, why don't you just kind of hunker down here, stay safely inside of the cave. Stay in the citadel, stay in the stronghold. You stay here and I'll go out and I'll whoop the devil. And when I get him whooped good, I'll bring you on out on the field and you can raise your hand and say, yay, here, look what we did. That is not what the Lord said. The Lord said, I'm going to go with you. And then he said, I'm going to hand him over to you. Friend, I want you to know, the devil knows that you have the anointing of the Lord upon your life. And that anointing absolutely causes him to wonder what you're going to be up to next. And I believe that we ought to be the devil's biggest headache. That when we get up in the morning, he ought to go, oh no, here we go again. That it ought to be that we live the anointing that God has given to us. Friends, the anointing was not given to the church of Jesus Christ to be some kind of a playground where we play with the gifts. All nine gifts of the Spirit and the anointing and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit was for the work of the ministry. It was so that you can go out and dismantle bone by bone, stick by stick, brick by brick, whatever the enemy puts in your way. Greater is he that is within you than he that's in the valley. Amen. Now it takes a paradigm shift. And in this paradigm shift, we need to understand there is a reason why the attack comes. And the attack is coming my way, your way, our way, the church's way, globally, because the enemy in the valley of giants is saying, we're going to stop you from dismantling what God has already promised he's going to do. He has already promised. We've read the end of the book. God wins. But guess what? We are part of the whole process of God's winning. Amen in this world. And so God gave him a word. If you're going to ask God a question, you better be man enough to say, I'm going to listen. And so he asked, he said, shall I go after these Philistines? He said, yes, go. And I'm going to go with you. And I'm going to hand them over to you. And that word, as simple as it was, that is all David had to have. And he said, if God said it, that settles it. And he went out on the battlefield. The Bible says, then God broke through with a victory so great that David could only liken it unto a dam bursting forth, washing away every obstacle and obstruction in the way. Hence, he called that place Baal-perazim, the Lord of breakthrough. Hallelujah. Now, here's a picture he had in mind. This valley that was once called the Valley of the Giants is now called, from that moment on, this victory on, is now called not by the land of the giants, but rather it's a place where God broke through. The little town I grew up in out in South Dakota is just below the Dakota Hills. I don't want to call them a mountain ridge because they're only several thousand feet above sea level. But they are to the west of the little community where I grew up in the Dakotas. There was a rainstorm that went on for several days, and there was nearly 9 inches of rain that fell. And the waters filled the valleys and the ravines up in the Dakota hillside. And one of these valleys literally broke forth. The waters were so great that it broke out. And when it broke out, the little town where I grew up in has a stream that would not be any wider than the first pew in any of these first sections. That's as wide as the stream would be. The stream became 3/4 of a mile wide, right through the heart of town. It washed cars right off the streets. It washed buildings away. It caused damage of every kind. It just came as a gusher, just washing everything away. David said, there's only one way I can explain what God did. It was like the dam broke. And every obstruction and every enemy in the way was washed away. I don't know about you, but I love seeing breakthroughs. Let me tell you about a little breakthrough. Hopefully you can identify with it. I love when I've got, especially with the grandkids now, you know, you get to relive life with your grandkids. You get to play with toys again. Well, I have three little granddaughters, so I've learned to play with dolls again. Out at the, we've ran into in several places, but I remember being out at the zoo, and they had, you know, the incubator and the eggs in the incubator for the little chicks. And I stood there, and as I watched, this one egg, it was on kind of a grid on a rack, and this egg started just kind of rattling around on there. And it was interesting to watch, and it was shaking back and forth, and it wasn't long enough. We were captivated by it. And I was watching it, and pretty soon there was one little peck mark. You could just see just the tip of the bill, and it kind of knocked a little hole into the egg, and then it kind of shook some more, and you could see this egg almost rolling back and forth as this little chick on the inside was beginning to break out. And as he continued to do so, finally, he broke until he broke a chunk of the shell, top of the shell off, and his head came out like this. And it was like, hello, world, here I am. And he just kind of put his little head down. I don't know whether it's a him or her. I can't tell chickens one from another. And so this little chick, anyway, his head's laying there so tired out. And then after a while, he kind of pushes with his wings and with his feet. He pushes himself away, and he gets out of there, and he goes. It's a breakthrough. And there's a sign. There was a sign in the corner. And these little ones were being born kind of, you know, on a daily basis. And we were privileged to be there for that particular one. And the sign in the corner said, we're pulling for you. Let me tell you, God's pulling for you. This is your year. This is your year of breakthrough. And your valley of intimidation is about to become the valley of victory and the valley of breakthrough. Hallelujah. If you're here this morning, you need a breakthrough in your life, I want you to come quickly from all over this room. No worship team at their place anyway, so just come. Come. You're saying, I need a breakthrough in my life. Got a breakthrough in our marriage, breakthrough in our home. We need a breakthrough in finances. We need a breakthrough. I want you to picture as you get up, as you're coming forward, you're coming, you're saying, I'm getting out of this cave. I'm going to find out, what has God got to say about this battle that's been raging? Got a new perspective on the battle. The very reason why the battle is going on is not because I've done something wrong. It's because I'm a threat. And because the anointing on my life is literally going to tear down the strongholds of the enemy. And he's calling you, saying, come out of the cave. Come out of the cave. Come out of the cave. Out of the cave. What does the word of the Lord have to say? Father, I pray that you'd whisper into the hearts of each and every one of these friends this morning. Lord, we're all in a battle of one sort or another. It seems intimidating at times. The doctor's reports aren't always good. What the attorney has to say is not good news. We find ourselves in battles that are legal and they're financial and they're family related, and they're battles of depression and battles that deal with every avenue of life. Lord, I pray you bring these people out of the valley of the giants. Bring them to the place, Lord, where they will declare it's the place of breakthrough. It's the moment, it's the time. It's the moment that God is going to bring you through. Listen carefully. Whatever it is that you're battling with right now, I want you like David did. David said, Lord, what have you got to say about this? Lord, what am I supposed to do? Then he quieted himself. And the Lord answered. He will always answer you. Even in those moments when you're filled with confusion and things are swirling around you and you lost your kind of your equilibrium in life, he will answer you right through the confusion. And I've discovered God is not like a preacher. He's really short in his messages. Just a few words. Go. I'm going to go with you. And I'm going to hand them into your hands. I'm going to be with you, David. What is the Lord saying to you? You can hear. Quiet yourself. Grab a hold of that. The enemy will try to make things confusing. God makes things clear. And he speaks. And David grabbed a hold of it. He said, if this is the word of the Lord, that's all I need.